It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, broadcasting throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area. And of course, the content is available and delivered to everyone around the world at MYBRadio.com, MYBRadio.com, and of course on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings have us consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Of course, Nielsen is the global measurement and data analytics company. To be in the top 10 in New York AM radio, sometimes we come in number 3, is quite an accomplishment. And it's because of the great guests that we have. And the listeners have come to expect great business content week in and week out. And of course, we have an unbelievable show in store for you tonight with some great guests from Investors Bank and Mark Spanith. But before we get to our guests, first of all, some thank yous to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who play such an important support role for the show. Cirilli, Michal, Bracha, Abigail, Miriam, Malka, thank you. Of course, a shout out to the great folks at 77 WABC doing their magic behind the boards. Glenn, James, Matt, Chris, thank you. A special shout out also to the some folks behind the scenes that made this all happen. Jason Bachrach, Kerry Pensig, Dominika Leonard, Jenna Buretta, Sadik Zikian, and Diana Paletta. Thank you so much for making this all happen. Well, getting to tonight's incredible show, we have none other than Michael McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank, Joe Orifice, Head of Commercial Real Estate Lending at Investors Bank, Mark Barron, Principal in the Tax Department at Mark Spanith, and Angela Sedang, Principal in the Advisory Services Group at Mark Spanith. First about Investors Bank. Investors Bank, headquartered in Short Hills, New Jersey, is a full-service community bank that has been servicing customers since 1926. Yes, the big centennial, a mere few years away. With over $27 billion in assets and a network of more than 150 retail locations throughout the regional area, Investors Bank delivers personalized services and products tailored to the needs of customers, businesses, and consumers alike. A little bit about Mark Spanith. Headquartered in New York City with offices in the major markets throughout the East Coast, Mark Spanith is ranked by Accounting Today as one of the 50 largest accounting firms in the nation and the top 10 in the Mid-Atlantic region. With origins dating back to 1907 and a team of nearly 700 professionals, the firm specializes in a full range of tax and consulting services and with specialties in many areas, including business continuity, international tax, and forensic accounting. And therefore, tonight's show, titled Business Environment Today as it relates to valuation. What an important topic. We thank Investors Bank for this presentation, and a special thank you to Jason Bachrach again for making this all happen, and the team here that's joining me for tonight's show, Michael McIntyre, Joe Orifice, Mark Barron, Angela Sedang. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. An important note just for the great listeners out there. This episode is being recorded during the week of August 17th. And I'm saying this because so many people are going to be watching this on YouTube in a weeks from now, months from now, maybe years from now because the important content that we're sharing. Therefore, keep that in mind because circumstances may change and therefore the topics and the answers to the questions that are being addressed today are as of mid-August of 2020. Also, as always, in every situation, of course, general advice, contact your individual lawyer, financial advisor, or CPA for specific guidance. I'm going to jump in and first I'm going to turn to Angela Sedang from Mark Spanith. Angela, of course, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business. We talk about valuation. Angela, what can you explain the term valuation? It's a big term. What does that mean?
Okay, so let's start with a grassroots universal definition of valuation, because as you said, it can take different paths. It's really an analytical process. It's, you know, a methodology for determining the monetary worth or the price of an asset, liability, business, company, and even a person. So right now I can actually value you, Yitzhak. And you know, it's
please not on the air.
It's conducted by professionals such as myself. It's, you know, neither strictly an art nor a science, but it's a hybrid of both. It's not an exact science in the sense that no precise outcome or number exists to measure value. But it is a science in the sense that it involves math, statistics, economics, and involves logical and analytical reasoning. It is an art, on the other hand, because it requires skills, knowledge, and experience to apply subjective judgment on the facts. Ultimately, it's the market that determines the value of a business or an asset. And my role is to reasonably and logically estimate that value.
I'm going to turn to Joe Orfis. Joe, of course, thank you for joining us here on this special edition of Mind Your Business. Joe, what kind of activity are you seeing in the market today?
Well, that's an interesting thing. It's been a wild ride, and it's been a very interesting time for us. I mean, we've spent a large part of our year working with our existing customers to, kind of get them through this just trough of activity, shutdowns and COVID and all those things. It's, obviously still going on. So we've spent a big chunk of our time working with our customers to really help them as best we could position for the future. But at the same time, we've tried to do some new business too. So we're really starting to see that kind of activity. Financing's come up, maturities come up, things need to be done. And so we've been trying to work with people during this time also to move forward and do new business as well. So it's been a little bit of a wild ride, but we continue to work with people. And activity as a rule, I think, is starting to pick up, and we're starting to see some real movement for people to kind of get projects going, get new things going. But it's a slow roll. Certainly not where we were beforehand, but the activity is cautiously optimistic about it coming back in the near term.
Okay, thank you. And now I'm going to turn to the Mark's Panath side of things. Mark, what kind of activity are you seeing in the market today?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time today. I am seeing quite a bit of activity right now. I can't say that it's a particular trend or a pattern or an exact answer, but there's no doubt activity. So as I hear that there's tightening of finance and gloom and doom, and that people are seeing certain industries that are no doubt having difficulties, there is definitely a pattern of creativity, and there's demand and there's interest. And that, quite frankly, is surprising. I've always told people that in this world of transactions, particularly small and mid-sized businesses, if you're not familiar with it, expect the unexpected. This is an area where we're in an uncharted territory. I'm not going to try to use trite phrases, but we absolutely are. And COVID has definitely changed the marketplace from my perspective.
Now I turn to Angela Sadang. Angela, what type of activity are you seeing in the market today?
Well, depending on the industry, the disruption certainly created some industry winners and losers. I'm definitely seeing many intra-family transfers at low valuations for those that are industry losers at this time. The current environment presents an opportunity for estate and gift tax planning for many of our clients that are, for instance, real estate holding entities, especially those in commercial real estate holding retail and office space, and even those holding apartment buildings. I have another client who is a wholesale distributor of major brand luggages to Walmart, Macy's, Kohl's, all these major department stores, and his revenues decimated in the heart of the pandemic. And he sees this as an opportunity to transfer his interest to a trust at low valuations. Obviously, restaurants also emerge as losers in this time, and it might be a good time to think about succession planning and take advantage of low business valuations to minimize estate and gift taxes. Some of the obvious winners that have transferred interest before we even got deep into the pandemic are telehealthcare providers. Yeah. I have one client who had an internal medicine practice in Manhattan who pivoted to teledoctoring last year by acquiring New Jersey Teledoc Practices. And in the heart of COVID, he was actively seeking horizontal acquisitions in other states.
Wow.
So that was an interesting engagement to work on. I also have another client right now who is a manufacturer of a very specialized niche, organic hand soaps. The owner saw his revenues grow tenfold in the second quarter of this year alone, and he is contemplating and preparing for an eventual sale. So for the industry winners, there is an opportunity to help with horizontal or vertical acquisitions, planning for growth, and tax planning.
You know, it's so great to hear from you, Angela, because it's such a, from your perspective, I'm not saying it's a bright and rosy picture for everyone, but there's certainly opportunity. And now I'm turning to Joe. So, Joe, what impediments are you seeing regarding deal flow these days?
Well, I mean, some of it has to do with what Angela just said. There's a lot of winners and losers right now, and it is a challenge to really evaluate a steady state. You know, real estate a lot of times is cash flow lending, and cash flows have been so uncertain, it's very challenging to try and understand exactly, you know, where any given property is at one time. So it is, that's probably, you know, one of the largest impediments. That you have a great project, but three of them are restaurants that are closed, you know, very challenging, or you have daycare centers, or, you know, the list is long. You know, so that's probably the largest impediment. And if, you know, the other thing is, you know, we're going to talk about it a little later, but valuation, where is the property value today? Again, that kind of goes part and parcel with some of the cash flow determinations. So that, you know, that's probably the largest thing. And, you know, again, there's winners and losers. You know, we're seeing certain university student housing is okay, and certain university stuff is nobody's there. So, you know, we're seeing ups and downs even within certain sectors across our portfolio. So it's, you know, it's a bit of a challenge, raises the bar of difficulty for everything. But it's really the largest of the impediments is really trying to understand what kind of asset you're trying to lend on.
I'm now going to turn back to Mark Barron. Mark, what are you seeing in terms of trends in the M&A market, particularly the small to middle markets?
Okay, well, I think first we need to understand where you are in the life cycle. So if you had a deal pending before COVID hit, mm-hmm. there's a different trend. And interestingly, that type of trend is people are now showing their hands. So if we're in the middle of a deal, I had a sizable deal. We actually thought we didn't have any leverage. We were on the seller side. And after COVID hit, we thought, oh my gosh, this could fall apart. It actually turned out they wanted to do the deal even more and sweeten the pot. Mm-hmm. So they were worried, actually, and we had no idea. So people are showing their hand, which is really interesting. If you are contemplating a sale or a purchase, that's a different story. Now we're looking at trends where people are definitely spending more attention to terms that they otherwise would not have focused on too much. They're looking at diligence much more carefully, and they're assessing risk in different ways and looking at creative incentives. You know, clawbacks are coming back now. There's a lot of that going on. It creates delays, logistical issues, but these are trends that I think we're here for. They're going to be here for a while. A lot of these issues have always been around. Now they're just more important than they were before.
Yeah, they were just, like you said, we shouldn't say ignored by and large, but maybe swept under the carpet, certainly because when the economy was like it was sailing along pre-pandemic, so, you know, that was the environment at the time. But certainly this turned everything on its head. And like you said, it's here to stay even past the pandemic, certainly for a while. So, okay, now I turn back to reps from the bank, Mike McIntyre and Joe. First, I turn to Joe Orifice. Joe, as far as real estate, how are banks changing their credit appetites in today's market?
Yeah, so it's interesting. A lot of changes have happened. I think, you know, banks come and go as in perfect times. But over these times, we've really seen, because of the uncertainty with certain the asset classes, that we've seen banks shift either from or to certain things. I know at Investors Bank, you know, we're trying to be a little cautious with certain categories that we're not so sure we have line of sight to their recovery. But we, by the same token, maybe we're doing some more bridge financing or more, you know, kind of interim financing until things get back to full normal. So, you know, we've seen banks like ours make that shift. We've seen other people kind of leave the market entirely. We've seen certain sectors dropped off appetite lists where, you know, people just maybe said retail, we don't want to be in retail anymore. And so they just don't even offer products for that. You know, we continue to look at each of those categories individually and are active in all of them for Investors Bank. But you know, we've seen the CMBS market be disrupted. We've seen, you know, the agencies ebb and flow a little bit. Obviously, they're active now. You know, so it's been a dynamic shifting, and it's you know, shifting sands under the real estate owner's feet, trying to get things you know, financed. And this time is a little more challenging. We're seeing kind of the have and have nots. There's the super A, you know, Amazon distribution center, which is guns a blazing, everything full speed ahead. And then we've seen the other ones where maybe it's a retail strip center where nobody will touch that one. So you'll see a really tight priced super A deal. And then you'll see a wide-priced kind of, you know, uncertainty. So it's a wide variety and a wide variety of players now, and it's a constant shift as things continue to evolve.
Now I turn to Mike McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank. For small businesses, how are banks changing their credit appetite in today's market?
Yeah, Yitzhak, it's been an amazing past 5 months, right? So if you look back, you know, over the last five, 6 months, we've essentially been doing nothing but PPP loans and pointing customers to the SBA for all the disaster loans that are available to small businesses. You know, as right now, we have a gap. You know, PPP has expired, and we're still waiting for guidance from the Congress for future phases of PPP. And we'll talk about that, I guess, a little bit later on. But, you know, right now, I will tell you that, you know, we're open for lending. We are at a point, though, where we are much more reliant on real-time data from the customer, as opposed to historically relying upon legacy results or previous in the past results for a small business. Because again, we have less certainty in the future about the cash flows, if you will, of a small business. But I will tell you that, you know, if somebody wants to buy a truck today, you know, we're happy to look at that deal and look at to finance it. You know, if somebody's looking for a line of credit to help them get through the cash flow cycles that they're dealing with right now, you know, we're open to doing that. The change that we've seen, though, in the last several months is being much more aware that customers have been severely impacted, severely harmed by this crisis, and we need much more real-time data in order to inform a proper credit decision.
Got you. Right. Before we go to a break, I'm going to turn back to Mark Barron from Mark's Paneth. Mark, how are potential acquirers and targets dealing with potential risk areas? And for example, you know, considering a transaction, how has COVID-19 impacted the due diligence process, contract terms, structures, financing, and incentives?
Okay, great. You cover a lot of the issues, and it's impacted every single one of them. As far as due diligence, we're talking about logistics, the biggest issue. Nothing replaces a face-to-face meeting in many cases. So oftentimes, and we're used to dealing with data rooms and dealing with the sending documents back and forth, but you need to have meetings. And so that's changed quite a bit with COVID. That's just a practical issue.
Right.
Now there's also a skill that's in demand. We have to look for areas of risk, and you can't rely on historical data like you used to. So we're really, like I said, in uncharted territory. I hate to say this over and over again, but I live in the world of gray. If there wasn't a gray area, I wouldn't have anything to do. So this area is clearly gray. It's evolving. But if you don't identify these risk areas or do the best you can so that a target can make a business decision, an informed business decision, you're doing a disservice. Depending on the industry, every industry should have the same diligence process. There's going to be an overlap of COVID questions.
Right.
COVID requests, COVID-related modeling, in particular modeling, because the forecasts are going to look a lot different. You're going to look at HR now, where we never paid much attention to HR. How's your workforce? Is it going to be around? So this is evolving. It's growing. But our checklist clearly has a COVID overlay and what we need to see from different areas. As far as financing, yes, credit is tight. There may be alternative financing opportunities that clients should look at, particularly buyers. And then I mentioned before, incentives. If you can find the earnout incentives so that you can mitigate some of the risk, that's helpful. Question is, experienced buyers in particular understand this. My concern is with the sellers in the middle to small markets who don't have a lot of experience in this area. And they need to understand what they're getting into, what type of world they're going to. When you open up the hood and you start looking under the, you know, looking in the engine, it's going to be a different view. And so that's where we are today. These are the risks that we're going to be looking at. And like I said, we could spend all day talking about clauses that we're focused on, but that's exactly where we are right now.
Now, Mark, if I may, I know this is perhaps a third rail issue, but just as it applies to M&A, what's your take on how the elections, the upcoming elections, will affect that?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well,
I'm not asking you how you're voting,
That's okay. Right. The elections are going to be very interesting in terms of how this is going to relate, at least from my perspective and seeing the plans that are out there from both parties. But if there's a change of administration, there's clearly going to be a landscape where there's going to be more regulation and more taxes. I'm not saying that negatively, but it is going to affect decisions. It's going to affect financing. It's going to affect the bottom line figure that a seller at least will receive post-tax, for example. So that will definitely have an impact if the election stays the same, the same administration. I still think you're going to see some tweaks because with all of this stimulus legislation, at some point it needs to be paid for. And so, this is unprecedented. This is the largest amount, and how that's going to be done is going to be the subject of debate. But it's definitely going to impact the M&A transactional environment.
You're tuned to a special edition of Mind Your Business titled Business Environment Today as it relates to valuation, brought to you by Investors Bank. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips, that's at Business Class Clips on Instagram, or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's edition, titled Business Environment Today as it relates to valuation, brought to you by Investors Bank. My co-host, even though I'm asking him some questions too, is Mike McIntyre, who of course is Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank. We have some questions for the team at Marks Paneth, but I'm going to hand it over to my comrade here. Mike, take it away.
Thanks, Isaac. Angela, this is a really important question that we're getting from many of our customers across various sectors and industries. How are you valuing businesses during these uncertain times versus the pre-pandemic?
Well, generally now I have a more amplified focus on cash flows, revenue growth, if any and when, and the cost of capital or discount rate. I put a lot of thinking now to the risks associated with the cash flow of a particular business. So when a client provides me a forecast, I cast a skeptical eye and ask what elements should be factored in the discount rate, as well as the risks involved in realizing the cash flows at that particular date of the valuation, especially if the valuation date is, you know, first quarter, second quarter of this year. A key consideration in valuing companies in the heart of the pandemic is assessing the impact of COVID on near-term and longer-term financial projections, which may not yet be known or quantifiable. There's no literature out there. And, you know, if there is, it's likely subject to change. There are many forecasts out there with respect to recovery in a V-shape, U-shape, or even a W-shape. In addition, certain industries will bounce back earlier than others. Manufacturing versus restaurants versus groceries have different, you know, risk factors. So implicitly, these uncertainties need to be reflected in the discount rate and in the cash flows, and the risk-appropriate discount rate needs to be considered. There is no set approach to account for market uncertainties, or as the impact will be different for different businesses in different regions. But what I'm doing for my clients right now is considering multiple scenarios. So I work with my clients to seriously consider using several discount and growth rates for different time frames, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, and consider projections that are probability weighted. So valuation has become more complicated with the COVID scenario and how to project that out in the long term. One thing is crystal clear though, recovery and growth will occur from a lower base than pre-pandemic levels and at a much slower pace, and driven possibly by whether the fundamental changes in the economy and consumer behavior or other factors will be favorable or unfavorable for the client's business. Also, liquidity has, you know, become an issue. Right now, you don't see any liquid private companies out there. There's no one rushing to buy, you know, privately held companies. Volatility is a factor, therefore, in, you know, considering discounts for lack of marketability. And again, abnormal conditions in the market will necessarily cause buyers to be reluctant to invest in illiquid securities. So the discount for lack of marketability is just heightened during this, you know, this pandemic. So there's no data to quantify these factors currently, but they should be considered. And, you know, valuation professionals like myself use our professional judgment in, you know, converting this risk factors right into what is, you know, considered reasonable and justifiable.
So Angela, what I'm Yitzhak here, what opportunities have you been advising your clients in light of COVID-19?
Well, definitely lower values create a unique planning opportunity. It allows business owners to transfer a greater portion of their business assets and reduce their taxable estate. I mentioned this earlier. There's a lot of opportunities in the gift and estate planning arena. Mm-hmm. The recent decline in market valuations definitely is an opportunity to gift at lower values, potentially allowing, you know, business owners to gift assets using lifetime exemption that would have otherwise resulted in a taxable event before the pandemic. Also, there's this additional uncertainty surrounding the U.S. presidential election and what might happen to estate and gift tax exemption levels. So now may be the best time to do some gifting. with proper planning, the post-transfer growth in the assets potentially can escape estate gift and generation skipping transfer taxes. Another economic development also makes transfer tax planning especially beneficial in the current scenario. Interest rates are currently very, very low, in part as a result of the government's efforts to support the economy. So I've seen a lot of intra-family transfers, loans to family members. That's become very popular in the past 3 months. Although it's a good time for estate valuations, I also cast a skeptical eye and always ask the client whether the impact is temporary or long-term. Because, you know, the IRS, I always have to keep in mind that the IRS will be at your door and ask for support for discounts for lack of marketability, for instance. So, you know, I approach each assumption with care. And, you know, one of the keys to many of these strategies is to obtain a supportable valuation, especially when dealing with closely held businesses or fractional interests in the business.
So anyway, it's Mike here. You know, you're based here in New York, and obviously New York has seen quite a bit of impact from COVID this year. Can you briefly say something about real estate here in New York City and what are you seeing?
Well, we've definitely seen a decrease in commercial real estate values. The effects of COVID-19 are manifested in unpaid rents, unused office space, business closures, and unemployment. A few reasons why the value of real estate holding entities have declined due to COVID-19. Actual and expected revenues and earnings of real estate properties have decreased because of closures of commercial and retail tenants, lower occupancy in the case of hotels, or rise in rental defaults in the case of residential properties. Interest-bearing debt may have increased to pay employees and other fixed continuing expenses. For minority interest in real estate holding entities, discounts for lack of control or what you call minority discounts and lack of marketability have also increased due to liquidity issues in the market. Another area is impairment. I mean, you will be seeing impairment, and it will be an elevated topic in financial reporting for real estate entities given the drastic economic effects of COVID. We anticipate that many companies, real estate holding entities, will need not only to test their goodwill, but also their long-lived assets.
I'm going to turn now to Joe Orfis at at Investors Bank. Joe, how is the bank looking at reevaluating value on commercial real estate?
Yeah, you know, it's a challenging job. And I think what Angela just said, you know, there's a lot of floating variables out there. And so I don't envy they're trying to put values on these things. But, you know, the one part that we find interesting is that really, and we see this in our financing activity, is we're not really doing a lot of purchase transactions. So there's no real good mark on these markets and really any of them. You know, they're all kind of based on assumptions and, you know, cash flow disruptions and things like that. So we're seeing, you know, we're looking at it, you know, kind of, well, what's the stability of the cash flow? Where's the value associated with that? You know, we're seeing as we go through and get appraisers to do valuations for us, we're seeing, you know, they're taking more conservative approaches on where the cash flow, what the future will be and what the cap rate may be, capitalization rate. And so, you know, that makes it a little more. So what's good for estate planning is not so good for real estate lending. You know, we're, you know, cash out refinances are harder to come by. So, you know, it's difficult to get a real true market picture, even though you're seeing, you can draw some conclusions about disruptions in cash flow and the like, but because a lot of these are temporary or, you know, you're not so sure how long they're going to last. I think it's a challenging nut to crack sometimes. But we're taking, you know, in investors, we're really taking a kind of a cautious view on that. You know, obviously we're relying on the experts to assist us with this and try and draw where a true market value is. But again, it's, you know, I think we probably a little more optimistic on some of these valuations bouncing back more quickly as we work with customers. You know, we're seeing historically low treasury rates, you know, as kind of the baseline. And so, you know, we view this as one of those things that we think it'll be a lot better than the doom and gloom we see today. But, you know, we're, like I said, taking it case by case, looking at it deal by deal and
you know, it's a strong topic to deal with.
So, Angel, last question for me. You know, PPP has been such a huge impact to businesses across the country over the last 5 months. How is that going to impact the valuation of a business?
Well, the provisions provided under the CARES Act specifically create one-time events, and those alter income and market inputs to valuation. So, as a valuation professional, I recognize the need for adjustments for this one-time non-recurring events. For instance, one-time tax benefits. The CARES Act temporarily repeals the 80% income limitation for net operating loss deductions going back to 2018. This change allows some businesses to claim operating losses against taxes already paid, and they receive immediate tax refunds, so that increases expected cash flows. While that cash infusion benefits the business, it can also affect net income, so it causes a spike in the valuation of the business. But again, we need to make sure that adjustments in our valuation models are performed for any of this one-time tax benefits. In addition to, you know, this one-time tax benefits, the PPP and other short-term small business support provisions, you know, could impact valuations, and, you know, other items to consider are whether the PPP loans will be forgiven and treated as a grant, or whether they're low interest loans and treated as debt, and how that determination alters, you know, projections or the discount rate or cost of capital. Another question is, how is the SBA covering 6 months of a small business debt relief program payments? How does that alter cash flow? Does it increase net income or change cost of capital? Another issue is, when we're conducting a market approach to valuation, are the comparable companies we're using benefiting from the CARES Act or not? How does that alter the market multiples that we're using? If acceptance of their CARES Act funds indicates a business is under duress or in the brink of bankruptcy as a result, you know, past financial results are not indicative of future operations. I think Mark mentioned this earlier. So generally, an analyst should factor this into the valuation of the business, and how this were known and knowable as of the valuation date. If uncertainty exists as of the valuation date, then definitely I recommend a scenario analysis for my clients. There's many other factors that need to be considered in light of the uncertainty, but you know, a scenario analysis is what's most useful right now, in my experience.
Thank you, Angela. At the end of the show, we're going to turn to each guest and ask them for general contact information, because they're sharing such great advice, and there are many in the audience that I like. I want to get in touch with Angela Sadang or Mark Barron or, again, Joe and Michael at Investors Bank. We'll get to that at the end of the show. Of course, you could always Google their names. They're out there. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, more on tonight's incredible conversation about business environment today as it relates to valuation, brought to you by Investors Bank. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's show brought to you by Investors Bank, titled Business Environment Today as it Relates to Valuation. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. This will turn into a very, very popular podcast and an episode that will show up on YouTube. The easiest way to access it is by going to MYBradio.com, MYBradio.com. I turn to one of the four guests on the show tonight, actually my co-host as well, Mike McIntyre. Mike, we've been hearing about P4. In fact, we've been using it in the build-up to tonight's show. Can you tell us, what does P4 refer to?
Yeah, yes. So P4 is really a concept right now. It's a topic that's being debated down in D.C. And as we record this week, you know, the House has been recalled back to Washington, and there's speculation that there may be some breakthroughs this week. But P4 is essentially an extension of the PPP program, or an extension of the CARES Act. Nothing has been definitively explained yet, but I think the government is looking for ways to continue to further stimulate small and medium-sized businesses and give them ways to potentially raise additional liquidity, raise additional funding, very likely through a government-sponsored program of some sort.
I now turn to Mark Barron, a principal in the tax department at Marks Paneth. Mark, what are the latest developments impacting businesses that have taken PPP funds?
Yeah, I have to tell you, businesses are across the board interested in answering their questions regarding calculations and when they should apply for forgiveness. We have had sellout programs, as have other firms, many times to discuss the process and where we are. You can almost get a PhD in PPP. There's been so many changes and so many things going on, but the more complex companies that have used these funds in different ways are understandably concerned. And they are looking at the guidance that has come out. For example, just last week, or it might have been a little over 2 weeks ago, on August 5th, the SBA came out with some forgiveness Q&As, which has been very helpful and very timely. And there's going to be new applications, but these are the sort of the latest developments that will continue.
Got you. So are there any other resources that you would recommend in terms of businesses that are, I mean, obviously any business that accepted PPP funds are looking to maximize their loan forgiveness? Any other tips, resources on that?
Yeah, well, the tips I have is to make sure you document your reasons for the loan and how you use the loans. I can't stress that enough. Document, document, document. You don't have to submit all of your documentation when you apply for forgiveness, but in the event that you're audited or something changes, have a record, because as time goes on, you'll forget it. Be patient too. A lot of people are understandably eager to get this out of the way and forgiven. There might be a second round of PPP loans, as was mentioned earlier, with Congress discussing things. And then expect more. I always tell people, expect the unexpected, expect more. This has been described to me as like building an airplane while flying. Okay, so we have a situation here where there's resources the SBA has on their site, enormous amount of resources, but there's also resources with your professional advisors and others, and even the banks. Everybody has really been helpful and sharing as much as they can.
Mark, can you please describe in the PPP proposed changes and the current stimulus proposals that are being negotiated right now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, on the Senate side, the House acted first. They had the HEROES a bill that was introduced back in May, I believe. And that included some PPP provisions that were very helpful, and some of them that were already enacted in the Flexibility Act from July 4th. So there's the HEROES Act has really pretty much been dealt with for the most part. On the Senate side, there's a combination of a lot of proposals that are out there. The biggest one that's getting the most interest is this second draw loan, the ability to come back and get another loan. We don't know if you have to forgive your old loan yet, but we do know that you can go back, and it's very popular, and it's to use the remaining funds that are available. And it's also targeted. It's targeted to businesses that have had a loss in business over a period of time. And there's a few other restrictions, but that's probably the hallmark of the big changes. There's also going to be an automatic type of forgiveness. How that looks, I'm not sure. But that's something, because the majority of loans, I believe about 86% or more, have been less than $150,000. So there might be some expedited way of getting approval for forgiveness. And then, of course, I tell people, don't ever forget about the employee retention credit. There's going to be changes where you can actually get a PPP loan and take advantage of the employee retention credit. Under the CARES Act, you couldn't do both. So, and they're going to be supercharging the employee retention credit. So there's a lot of other little provisions in there, new coverage, new expenses you can use for PPE, for if your business was hit by rioters and things like that. Other types of expenses are allowed. So you got to look at a lot of these details that could help a lot of businesses. It's interesting, it's creative, and it's something that's bipartisan. So I expect there to be some developments in that area.
Mike, before I go to everyone and get final takeaways, how is the bank, this important subject, getting back into digital lending?
Yeah, so I mean, as you and I have discussed in the past, you know, we were one of the first banks of our size to introduce a completely digital lending platform for our small businesses. We went live in the middle of December of last year with an external fintech partner, and it's been a great experience thus far. You know, we've spent the last several months obviously working through PPP, which is not as digital as our current platform. But we also recognized that we needed to be much more aware of the present condition of our customers, you know, state. And so what we've done is we've overhauled the entire platform, and we've made it much more customer friendly. We've put in place opportunities for the customer to be more interactive with us, to allow them to apply for multiple products, not just the traditional types of loans, but also lines, et cetera, and to give them more choice. And so we're going to be relaunching our lending platform in September. I'm really excited about it because it's going to give us an opportunity, you know, to kind of echo what Mark was saying a minute ago. You know, this is our platform to basically help customers that have credit needs, you know, under $50,000. It's our goal to get back into the ability to offer same day decisioning on all of our credit requests, recognizing all the changes that have happened, you know, over the last 6 months. And that's going to be a really big milestone for us to achieve next month.
I remember discussing it at one of the shows in mid-19 and like, who to thunk, as they say. Yeah. As the world took over. We have roughly 5 minutes left. I'm going to turn first to Angela Sadang, of course, who shared such incredible perspective from her perch, her angle as being a principal in the advisory services group at Marks Paneth. Angela, any final takeaways? And then if you could share how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you, Yitzhak. You know, COVID-19 grabs all the headlines, but it's not the only major development that will have potential impacts on valuation. The Fed, for instance, is buying up corporate bonds. There's the upcoming elections and low interest rates. And it's always fascinating to, you know, look for opportunities behind the bad news. And, you know, I find it enjoyable to be part of business owner's journey, and my role really is unraveling value in each of a business owner's story. So be glad to help. Please call me or email me, and we have COVID-19 resources at markspaneth.com.
Amazing. Now I turn to Mark Barron, principal in the tax department at Mark Spaneth. Mark, any final takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Absolutely. And I'll be real quick here. Just remember, everything's interrelated. There's very little we do in transactions that doesn't involve Angela in our firm. So to the extent you're using a creative transaction, maybe a merger of some sort that's tax-free, a divestiture or something, everything depends on valuation. We can't test a tax-free deal unless we have the right valuation. With respect to PPP, it's also interrelated. Do you want PPP on your books if you're selling? Or if you buy, do you want somebody? Angela discussed a lot of how that affects valuation. So the interrelationship between everything that we discussed today is going to become more pronounced. It's there now. It's going to affect decisions going forward. So those are my parting words here. And I think that it remains to be seen how things turn out in the future, and we look forward to working with our clients. Again, as Angela mentioned, you can reach us on markspaneth.com. We have a COVID resource site that has plenty of information, and we certainly are open to anybody who has an interest in contacting us.
Now I turn to Joe Orifis, head of commercial real estate lending at Investors Bank. Joe, your final takeaway here on 77.
Well, you know, most things, I kind of find myself cautiously optimistic. I know there's a lot of things in flux, elections and valuations and cash flows and COVID and all these things. But I think history proves us that we're pretty resilient and things will bounce back pretty well, especially in the New York, New Jersey region, which is, kind of a world focus. So, I always approach the day pretty optimistic, and I'm pretty optimistic going forward, certainly as we get into 2021. In terms of Investors Bank, we're going to continue to work with our clients, our customers, help them when we can, hold their hands if necessary through kind of some of these difficult times. And, we're going to continue to do that and also hopefully be there in the future for them as they need new financing. I think it's one of those moments that Investors Bank has been great at, which is building relationships and kind of seeing those relationships through the thick and thin that the economy brings to us. So I'd like to leave this meeting, this call as optimistic as ever. Looking forward, not backward. If you need to get a hold of me, obviously investorsbank.com is our website, but you can certainly email me directly, jorfis@investorsbank.com as well. And happy to hear from you. Thank you.
And of course, and now I turn to Mike McIntyre, Director of Business Banking, Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank. Michael, any final takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Yeah, Chuck, I think from my perspective, covering small businesses, we remain available to provide advice and counsel. It's not about a transaction or a product or a service. I speak to dozens of customers a week that are they have questions and they're looking for advice and they're looking for some guidance. And what I say to them, and I think this call, this conversation today kind of reflects that, is, you need to have a good trusted financial advisor, an accountant or a lawyer. You should be consulting with them on a regular basis. You should be evaluating, the risks that we're facing or the valuation of your company right now. But, in talking to your banker and talking to the team that I lead here, our selling point is really just to provide, reliable counsel, reliable advice, recognizing that we've just come through a very, traumatizing 5 months. But again, I've said this many times, businesses have reinvented themselves over the last 5 or 6 months, and we're there to help them.
What an amazing edition of Mind Your Business, brought to you by Investors Bank, titled Business Environment Today as it relates to valuation. This entire episode, in case you missed any portion of it, this is a very valuable show. It will be available permanently on the archive for this show. We're all on the platform for this show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. A special thank you to Mike McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank, Joe Orifis, Head of Commercial Real Estate Lending at Investors Bank, Mark Barron, Principal in the Tax Department at Mark Spaneth, and Angela Sedang, Principal in the Advisory Services Group at Mark Spaneth. This wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text SIGNUP on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.